24, verse 1 and 2. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." So God's going to call us all together. There was three times in the Old Testament they were supposed to come together and present themselves. Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Weeks, or is that the same? The Feast of Tents, the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Weeks, and the Passover. Well, here there's another time. It seems like special meetings. God wants you all gathered together. When there's a special meeting, God's going to give an account and address to the nation. We need to get there. Every time the church door is open, there's a special gathering. God wants us to be there to address us as his people out of his word. We need to be there when the doors are open. And that's why I left it for Sunday night. Because we know the Sunday morning crowd ain't the same as the Sunday night crowd. That I wasn't always a Sunday night Christian myself. When I first got saved, I was a Sunday morning Christian. And I grew. God grew me by his grace. And you got to give people the room and the space to grow. Not growing to meet our standards, but to meet God's standards. But there is a strength in numbers. That inner crowd, Jesus had it. You got John the Beloved, then Peter, James, and John, then the 12, then the 70. Then by the end of it, you got the 120 in the upper room. But they didn't all spend that close relationship. There should be an inner circle of friends that you have that are your inner circle, and those are your strongest spiritual friends. And that other people are not welcome into this circle. That they're not going to provoke me and push me and help me to grow unto God. There's this circle. Then there's a little bit more that broadens a little bit more. They're still serious about the things of God, but they're just not as serious as the rest. And we keep opening this up. And then there should be lost people in circles to keep you humble. It'll keep you humble just realizing how good God is to you. Should be not in your close inner circles, but you should know and be acquainted with some lost people. One, because you're trying to win them for Christ. You're not going to win people that are lost if you're never around lost people. Paul tells us in Corinthians, "But otherwise I'd have to go out of the world." No. He said, "Don't accompany with anyone if he be a fornicator, he's a brother." He said, "Otherwise I'd have to go out of the world if I'm going to separate myself from every single sinner." No. We need to be, we're not of the world, but we're in the world to reach the world. So, but there is a strength in numbers. All different tribes are here. All the 12 tribes. All different races, nationalities, all that. When we come together for church, we're all equal before the cross. All the ground is equal. I don't care what age you are, what gender, what race. It's all equal at the foot of the cross. And it's to be humbled. That strength in numbers, we hold each other accountable, as I said. You keep someone from slipping off. We provoke one another unto good works. We keep each other from serving other gods. He said they served other gods on the other side of the flood. Now we're going to serve the Lord God. Hey, before I came to Christ, I was serving other gods. I had to get those things cleaned out. I was the God of Jehovah's Witnesses. Jesus Christ wasn't God. He was a created God, a lesser God. There's all these other religions with all these other gods. They served other gods. We come together to serve and worship the one God. That's the one thing we all have. My wife and I love to travel. And we'll go and, you know, we look up churches before we go and visit them. And like I said, I come out of a different Christian type of church before, so now I'm a little more selective. And then when I came Baptist, I realized Baptists don't always mean Baptist when I was traveling and just jumping into a Baptist church. So a little more selective. I found ways to look things up and pictures or their statement of faith, usually can tell. But I love when I know I'm in a like-minded church. And you just sense it. And you get there, and the one thing that we all have in common is Jesus Christ. And I feel comfortable with family in that type of an environment, that I can have a conversation with you about him no matter what. May not have anything else in common, but I got him in common. There's strength in numbers, and it'll help us, build us up. And it's a help, too, when I go into a new place where a new visitor comes to our church and stuff like that, seeing that we're not in this alone. Sometimes the devil want to get you feeling like you're just your own little corner on the map, and that's it. It's just you, and nobody else cares. The Elijah syndrome, only me. Well, there's 7,000 that still ain't bowed the knee. There's still plenty of people out there trying to go hard for the Lord and do what's right. So there's strength in numbers. When the doors open, we ought to be gathered together. God's going to give an address, and it's for his people. My old pastor would say, he said he couldn't count how many times that someone would call him in the middle of the week and say, "Pastor, I have this problem going on. I got this problem going on." He said, "I just preached on that Sunday night, gave 6 points. Where were you?" And it was fresh. He said, "Why don't you get it while it's hot? You know, I gave all these points on this topic, and you weren't here." I'm afraid to miss, because I'm afraid, what if I miss what God has specifically for me? There's times where I went to church sick because I just knew God had something for me. You know, I don't associate and shake hands. I'm not trying to pass nothing. But I just know God's got something for me. And another thing is, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. How many times do we go to church not prayed? God, I want something from you. You got exactly what you got, what you asked for today. If you didn't ask, well, that's why the old preacher said, "I don't get nothing when I come to hear you preach." He said, "Well, did you ask for anything? You'll get what you ask for. God, I will need to be dealt with by you." We need to go to church prayed up, having spent time with God alone, knowing that this is where God does meet with people, is in the assembly and the gathering together of his people. In verse 3 through 18, we'll see the faith to bring him pleasure. He's going to give a little bit of an account. God is giving an account here of all the things that he's done through. "And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him through all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron and plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And you came out into the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon you them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I done in Egypt. And he dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan, and fought with you, and gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam and the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you. The Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor thy bow. And I've given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord, ye the Lord. And if it seem unto you, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up out of our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people, though whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land before. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God." There's nothing that'll increase your faith like answered prayer. And you have not because you ask not. The strongest thing to increase your faith is to pray and ask. And ask specific. When you ask generic, you never know when God's answering. But God did all these things to increase their faith and increase their trust to lean. You know, lean not under your own understanding. Leaning, you're putting your faith in something to hold you up. And, you know, whether you're leaning a little bit or leaning a lot of bit. Either way, he said lean not at all. Not even just a little bit. If I move my hand, I'm still up. But I'm just leaning a little bit. God is a jealous God. When we start to put in our faith and our trust and our leaning, well, I've got good health so I can provide for my family. I got a good job. I can do all these. But God's given you the health to be able to show up to work. And just as quickly as you've gotten it, you can lose it. We get to lean on ourselves and leaving God out of the equation. And he's jealous. Because, well, I got this. I can do this. I can do that. What can you do? What do you have that you didn't get from the Lord? And we forget to give thanks unto a gracious and wonderful God. God, thank you that I'm healthy enough, that I have even the mind ability to do these things, the capacity to think the right thoughts, to do the right things. He took them through all these positions for them to learn to lean on him. And you've got them in your life too. God's took you through different valleys, through different sorrows and heartaches, and different areas and avenues when you're lost to bring you unto him for salvation, when you're saved to learn to really wholly put your trust and faith in him. God's going to bring you through some land. 40 years he brought them through. And the ones that whined and complained didn't get to see the land, but their children did. The Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord. Are you bringing him pleasure? Because that's where you'll get your strength. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We are created by him for him to bring him pleasure, 4:11, Revelation 4:11. Hebrews 11:6 was without faith. And the Bible says in Nehemiah 8:10 that the joy of the Lord is our strength. You ain't got strength for the battle because you're not bringing God to pleasure that he is worthy of. You don't have the faith, you don't have the courage, you don't have the trust to lean on him. That's why you don't have the strength for the battle. It is a battle. The Bible says we wrestle not with flesh and blood. We don't entangle ourselves in this war. He says, any man that war, this ain't our warfare. We get so caught up that we lose the sight that that's an eternal soul and that it is a battle. It is a war field. You got to put on your whole armor. This is our armor, the sword. How affiliated are you with it? Our army doesn't send out men with just give them a weapon and go. They learn their weapon inside and out. They know their weapon, everything that their weapon, how to tear it apart and put it back together. I mean, some blindfolded, I've heard. And they do it as fast as they can, hanging upside down, all kinds of weird things. They know their weapon. Do you know your weapon? God's given it to you. The Bible tells us, here's one, a big one. We are not ignorant of his devices. Paul tells you about the devil. You know his whole strategy. You got his whole plan. He doesn't get to work outside of this. And yet he catches us off guard. Why? We're ignorant of his devices. He said, I've told you everything he's got. I told you how he's going to work. He's limited. God's put boundaries and things on him. So anywhere that God allows him to attack you, you already should be prepared for that attack. And we're not. Why? Because we're not familiar with our sword and with our shield, our buckler, our guide. God gave you everything. Yea, hath God said. He's going to attack the word of God. He's going to get you to cast doubt on the word of God. The way he attacked Job, we think that because a hardship comes or something, God must be mad at us. No, God ain't mad at you. He's just trusted you to handle something. He's allowed something into your life because he wants to bring you plural. Yea, though I'm tried, when I'm put through this, I shall come forth as gold, Job says. Bible tells us that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Wood, hay, stubble is going to burn up. Gold, silver, precious stone is going to withstand the fire. When I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. God's trying to produce some gold in your life. And he's allowing these things. It wasn't fun going through Egypt. It wasn't fun watching an enemy come down at him. Hey, it wasn't easy for Abraham to leave the land he knows and go and wander into land he's a pilgrim and a stranger of. He takes you, but it's by faith that you follow God where he wants you to go. It's not easy. You get caught up, the young Christian, younger men, they just want to go make money and they want to get a job where they can be best. Rather, why not pray? God, is this a mission field for me? Is this where you want me to work because this is where I'm equipped and able to reach men for the gospel? Or is it just about me, I'm going to work here so I can make this much money and I can provide for my family? You're not leaning on God. If that's your mindset, and I'm not trying to step on toes here, I'm preaching, but when it comes to the elderly, they chase their grandkids and everything else, there's a good reason to get them into church, but they'll leave a good church to go be where their grandkids are. Where's God in that choice? I just want to be around my grandkids. Well, are you trying to get them into church? That's a good reason. That's a biblical, godly reason, but a lot of them will leave good churches, end up not even in church. You find them five years later, they're out of church because they're in a good church in the area, but at least they're having good fellowship with their family and their family ain't in church. They're not helping them grow for Jesus Christ. That's not a good enough reason. God is a jealous God, and he's not going to be put up on the bench like it doesn't mean nothing to him. He says he's jealous. And he has a right to be jealous. He bought you. He bought me. He paid the price, the ultimate price for my soul. And for me to put my family ahead of him when actually that was a gift from him instead of giving him thanks for what I have. But we just get to lean on our own understanding, the American mindset. This is what life's about. Pursue your happiness, life, joy, and peace, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, what about God's happiness? The pursuit of God's happiness. He deserves it. He's put the time in. He's dealt with us. Without the joy of the Lord is our strength. You don't have strength for the battle because you're not bringing him joy. When you have no faith to stand, when you're tried and tested, well, why? Let's look back. Are we bringing God pleasure with our lives? Faith that is not tested is not faith at all. Your faith has to be tested. It's not faith. If you're not required to do anything with it, what is it? Well, I got faith that Jesus Christ is the only way. What about when someone comes and starts questioning you? Why do you believe that? You got an answer? Well, I believe the Bible. What about it? Has it done anything in your life? Has it done anything for you? Have you ever had to answer anything? God will allow you. When I go street preaching, the first time I went on a college campus, I did not want to go because I knew what was going to happen. You know, that's what the devil would do. You know how it's going to go and why you shouldn't go there. I know we're going to have some scientific conversation. I don't know that stuff, God. Why? I don't want to go on a college campus. Well, there wasn't a scientific question, not at all. So I get there and there's this guy, we're trying to pass out tracts, and you could see him, man. He's flaming mad from about 100 yards away. You could see it all over him. He was going to walk around us the wrong way, and I'm going to walk right through him. So he comes through, and I'm like, I'm not going to offer him a tract. I know he's mad. And so I'm like, you're not going to give him a tract? All right, Lord, I'll give him a tract. I try to give him a tract. No, I'm good. Well, what makes you so good? If you got something better than I got, share it with me. Oh, you want to debate? You want to debate? I'm like, I should have kept my mouth shut. I knew this is going to science or something like that. I'm like, all right, what do you got? You know, it's going to go science. He said, what about all the, he said, you want to debate your debate? I said, what do you got? He says, what do you want to talk about? I said, you obviously got something on your mind. What do you want to talk about? You know, you're all mad and befuddled. He said, what about all the inconsistencies in the Bible? There's some. I'll give him that. There's things that don't seem to add up. Yeah, I said, well, which ones? I'm not going to give the answer to someone. He said, what about the genealogy of Christ? They are inconsistent. One's his mom's side, and one's his supposed Joseph's side. Okay, so they don't line up 100%. I said, okay, well, let's talk about it. He said, they're in the book of Mark. I said, well, there's no genealogy in the book of Mark. So he had a 50-50 chance because there's two genealogies. It's in Matthew and John, right? Luke. He's got a 50-50 chance. And so now that he's got one out of the way, he's got a 67% chance. He's got better odds. Like, well, there is no genealogy in the book of Mark. He's like, I'm sorry. In the book of John. I said, well, there's no genealogy in the book of John either. So I was so stressed out going forward that it was going to be a conversation about science, things I don't know. And this guy... Oh, he got mad. Yes, there is. He got on his phone, stormed off. And 10 feet later, he gets back on his phone, goes another 100 feet, and he did it again. He did it three times, trying to prove me wrong, and he couldn't. God shut his mouth for me and showed me he's got me. But I was so sold that I was going to look like an idiot out there about something scientific that I don't know nothing about. I didn't want to go because I was confident. I was going to look like a fool that day, and I didn't got an answer. My pride doesn't want to look like a fool. You know, the Bible says it's by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It's by the foolishness of preaching. How many of you came into church today and said, we're going to go hear that fool preach? I never go to church that way, do you? So if it's the foolishness of preaching, and we never think going to church is foolishness, where's it foolish? Out there. It's never foolish in here. This is where you expect to hear it. So that means preaching's supposed to be out there. If foolishness of preaching saved people, it's only foolish when it's done out there. When we're bringing the gospel, handing out gospel tracts outside of a stadium or something like that, that's where it's foolish. Keep that in the church, they tell you all the time. No, this is where it's supposed to be. And you won't come. That's why I'm bringing it out here. If you'd come to church, I wouldn't have to bring it out here. If you'd just come. No, it ain't meant to just stay in the church. It's not supposed to be hidden behind four walls. The gospel is for the world. And the strength comes when we bring him pleasure, when you just lean on him. God, I don't know how this is going to work. I'll go stand on that campus. And you better show up. God, I don't know how this is going to work wherever he wants you, whether it's in that factory, to be different and pray during your lunch. Some get ashamed and they'll just try to say it quick with their eyes open, something rather than making a point to look like I'm praying. It's taking a stand somewhere. Take a stand somewhere, and God will do the rest. God, when you put your faith in just to make a little step, you'll see God work. Draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. You never take a step towards God that he don't take a bigger step towards you. But, verse 19 through 25, we got to put away the strange gods. Number one commandment. Thou shalt have before me. Now, that before me doesn't mean I'm top dog God. And then you got your other gods, you know, just make sure I'm number one. No, before me means when I look out across the audience, there's nothing in my view before me. I shouldn't see it in my presence, period. A lot of us are like, well, you know, as long as God's got his number one priority and I can have my other gods here all throughout the week. No. It ain't God is my God Sunday and then Wednesday night and then the rest of the week I got my rest of my gods. You go through the Old Testament and read through there. He's mad about gods. He says your gods are according to your cities, according to your streets. How's that? Philadelphia, the Vikings, you know, our cities, our gods. Cleveland Cavaliers, Cleveland Browns, that's our gods. We make gods out of cities and out of these men. Before COVID, you know, I pray big things. And I don't want to just pray small things. I prayed that God would get the Bible back in public schools. I've prayed that for years. And years ago, I think 2017 or something, I read something. They were doing it in Kentucky or something, and the ACLU was fighting hard against it. And, you know, I wanted it in Ohio, but I was just excited to see that happening. Man, did Ben just one county? I don't know. But I'm going to get excited if I see God moving. And then when I found out about this Bible club 2 years ago, oh, my heart just got thumping so big. I've been praying, you know, it ain't in regular public school curriculum, but it's in the public schools. They allowed us to come in with the Bible after school and bring it in there. That's a big deal. I prayed, God, for years, you got to take our gods away from us. They're not going to listen to us when they're so wrapped up in their gods and entertainment. God, take their gods away from us. And my heart meant the cell phone. But when COVID hit, God showed me he answered that prayer. I stood out there, and I'm out there, and he's all sports got shut down. And people make gods out of these. The one guy, LeBron James, what do you call himself, Jesus or something like that? Disgusting. To call yourself like Jesus or something like that, that's some pretty boldness. And people worship that guy and stuff like that. And yet they're all scared to take a court with another man or I might get sick. It showed that the gods of this world are just feeble, nothing, little. They're nobody. They cower. God says, I took their gods. What are you going to do with it? You asked me to do that. I said, all right, I'm going to go do something. Get out there. There's a whole world full of scared people. When people are scared, they tend to listen. And so we went street preaching every single day at our corner. And I didn't want to. A lot of times we'll just hold signs today. I don't want to preach. I'm standing there at the sign, and they're sitting there at traffic, and the guy stopped, lost people. Well, ain't you going to preach? Lost people are telling me, ain't I going to preach? Man, all right, Lord, I get it. I guess I should. You know, we went to the Jehovah's Witness thing last year. I didn't want to preach. Me and just her were there. We went to every single session, and there was a lot of guys that came out for a lot of sessions. Well, this one day, it was just me and her one time. I'm like, I ain't going to preach. I'll just hold a sign. I looked down at the first sign I was holding, preaching Jesus Christ. Like, oh, all right, Lord. You know, I didn't know that that's the sign I was holding at the time. God said, just open your mouth. I'll do something. And we don't see all the fruit of what he's doing. We just got to, by faith, do what he asked us to do and what we can do. The devil will want you to look at what you can't do. And there's a lot of things I cannot do, but there's a lot of things I can. And when you get so focused, well, I'll never be a pastor, I'll never be a preacher in the pulpit, may never be. But there at that factory, there's some people that I'll never meet that you have the opportunity to meet. You've got some experiences in your life to relate to someone I'll never be able to relate to. And God can use what you have, though it be not much. I just got a little cruse of oil and a few small twigs. Hey, that's enough. The oil ain't going to run out. I'll take care of you. Got to use what you put in his hands. Just got to trust him and put away the strange gods. They have no strength for service when we have strange gods among us. And we make gods out of a lot of things. Anything that we put in the position of God is a strange god, and he's jealous. He is angry. And he ain't going to be allowing you to serve him and giving you the strength for the battle when you're going to go out of here and spend time with a strange god. Why don't I have strength, God? Well, you spent all week on your cell phone. That's mine. I get caught scrolling sometimes, and I think, I should have spent that time in the Bible. I wonder why I ain't got no strength. Well, I let my strange god get in the way. That's just a little bit of transparency because it convicts me every time. God will not tolerate us, any other gods in his presence. He's jealous. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul tells us about how I begot you after a godly jealousy. 10:21-23. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3 is where Paul says that he begot them with a godly jealousy. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest any man, as a serpent, beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Another thing, we like to make the gospel a little overdo it. He said it's in the simplicity. I talked in the last service about the brethren that don't think they get saved anymore. They make it so difficult. It's the simplicity that is in Christ. If it was difficult, none of us would get it. I ain't learned it enough to get it. So therefore, in Romans 14, he says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Is it of faith? It's not of faith if you're trusting yourself. The hard thing to do in the Christian life is God wants you out of your comfort zone, because then you have to lean and trust on him. When you're comfortable, you can do it in your own strength, and you're not trusting him. I'm not comfortable working where I don't have any experience, and I'm not comfortable. But that's when he tells Gideon, hey, you know, you got 32,000, you got too many. Let's go down to 10,000. No, that's still too many. There is the sand of the seashore I'm going up against. What do you mean I got too many? My odds are still one in a million with 10,000. No, you got too many. Let's get it down to 300. That way, else when Israel's delivered, they vaunt themselves and say, I have delivered my own self, he said. I'm going to make it to where it's impossible so I get the glory. The same thing he wants to do with us. If you're trusting yourself, you'll say, well, you know, God, thank you for, but, and I kind of helped myself through that. He won't share his glory with you. He won't work in the possible realm where you can make it where I did this, I did that, I did that. No. God, I don't know how I'm going to make my bills this month. And somehow, impossibly, I kept making it month after month after month so he can get the glory. God, I have no idea why you're going to take this stammering tongue when I would have took an F in high school before getting up in front of people and talk. First time I preached, I got saved at 18, and I had to take public speaking in college. First, I never thought of it as preaching. I had to give a public speech. It was called a persuasion speech. You had to persuade. And it could be made up. It could be real. And they had said, just make, all of them made something up. They made this made-belief product that they're trying to sell you. They're persuading you to buy. Everybody's was humorous and funny. And I said, I'm going to persuade people why they need to get saved. And, it was the first time I ever gave a public speech, and I did it with intention. And, I rambled really, 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 really fast. But I did it. I gave the gospel, and man, you could hear a pin drop in there. It wasn't funny at all. It was serious. I told people that you're on the way to hell, and I'm trying to persuade you to accept Jesus Christ and get saved. And, you know, and then we all had to evaluate each other. I still have it and read sometimes their evaluations. We self-graded each other. But I couldn't do that. God, like I said, took the F on that part. It was required class, and that was the first time I ever preached. Opened my mouth. God did it through me. He started making a change in my heart to where I could do something for him. And you can do something for him. And it ain't going to be always in the realm. That doesn't mean God can't use you where you're at, too. He's given you the strengths, the gifts, and abilities you have to use for him. That doesn't mean he only works outside there, but he wants the glory out of the thing when it's finished. And when you say, my own hand have delivered me, he ain't sharing his glory with you. You got to put away the strange gods. But we know not that we're miserable, blind, poor, wretched, and naked, Revelation, he says. He says, I counsel of you to buy of me. So do you find yourself with the strength you need for the battles you have, or are you weak in power? Do you have all the strength you need for the battles you have, or are you weak in power? If you're weak, how is your service to the Lord? Are you bringing him the glory he wants and do his name? Because then you have the strength. If you're trying to do it in your own strength, you will fail. God ain't going to give you the ability to do it in your own strength. He wants you to lean on him, to trust in him. Or do we want the blessings of this world? The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow to it. The blessings of, well, I'll get this job so I can make this much money, and then finding out at the judgment seat of Christ, I had this place for you, and you could have led 10, 15, 20 people to the Lord here. I had a whole ministry for you, and if you had just trusted me, you wouldn't have made as much money, but you'd have had a lot more treasure here. If you'd have just stayed faithful a little longer and stayed at this church, I had something for you. Well, there wasn't nothing for me to do. Just stay faithful. God's got something for you. I love you, brethren. I love the Lord. Do something for Jesus Christ.